This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Thanks for joining us. The Hendry County Cooperative Extension is a partnership between the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, or IFAS, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Hendry County government. The concept of agricultural extension has been around for more than a century after Congress established the service in 1914 as a means of disseminating research coming out of land-grant universities like the University of Florida. The transfer or extension of research knowledge is facilitated by faculty in each of Florida's 67 counties and education centers. Our guest today has worked as an extension agent in Hendry County for more than two decades. Gene McAvoy's exact title is County Extension Director, Regional Vegetable Horticulture Extension Agent 4, but that's soon to change because he's retiring at the end of this month. So we decided to bring him into the studio to pick his brain about his life in the agriculture industry and what lies ahead for him. Gene McAvoy, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you, Mike. Glad to be here.
Our conversation is pre-taped, so we're not taking calls, but if you would like to engage with us and other listeners about this segment, you can do so via social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So where, when, and why did you wind up in the ag business and industry in the way that you did?
Well, it's a pretty long story if you have a few minutes.
Now, we've got some time.
Actually, I was born in Newark, New Jersey, and for the first few years of my life, I was a city kid. And in the early 60s, a lot of those big northeastern cities experienced race riots. And as a result of that, my parents moved to the southern part of New Jersey, where I went to high school. And like most kids in those days, you know, needed to raise a little money to try to get to college. And my first job was on a local vegetable farm picking tomatoes and strawberries, which kind of piqued my interest. I went to Rutgers University, and I was fortunate enough to get a few scholarships. I was the first person in my family to go to college, and they asked me what I wanted to study. And I really didn't know. I didn't have a lot of guidance. And I said, agriculture, I guess.
Oh, and it was because of your time at the tomato farm.
Because of my time at the tomato farm. And even before that, I was fascinated by agriculture. Those listeners that may be approaching my age right now, retirement age, might remember in the Northeast, television came on at 6 o'clock, and on Sunday morning, right before the cartoons, they had a program called Modern Farmer. And I used to watch that religiously and was fascinated by all those big machines and, you know, livestock production in the Midwest and corn and soybean production and, you know, in other parts of the country. And, yeah, fascinated me. And
so what did you do after you got your degree?
After I got my degree, I felt that I owed a little bit of a debt to society. So I decided to go into the Peace Corps for 2 years, and I was posted to West Africa, the small country of Niger, and I was assigned to a school gardening project to work with children and teach them how to grow vegetables. Well, if you know anything about most of those countries, if you get to go to school, the last thing you want to do is farm.
Right.
You want to get away from farming with your education. But their parents became very interested because they wanted to grow fruits and more fruits and vegetables. So we transformed the project from a school gardening project to a village gardening project.
Ah.
And the adults really accepted it well, and it grew and spread to several villages in the area. And that led to a job offer from the U.S. Agency for International Development.
Ah, USAID.
USAID. And I went back to the country of Niger. They had just had a tremendous drought there, and they had lost most of their seed. And we had a project to take breeder seed that was developed by U.S. breeders and multiply that to produce enough seed so farmers would have enough seed to grow. So I set up cooperatives working with small farmers, producing seed to sell to other farmers.
How long did you do that?
I did that for 3 years.
Oh, all over there in West Africa?
All in West Africa, yes, sir.
So how'd you end up in Fort Myers or Louisville, rather?
Still a kind of long story. After leaving West Africa, I you know, I only had a BS degree, and I decided, you know, since I had been working with a lot of scientists and plant breeders, I decided to go back to school. And I was going to go to school at the University of New Mexico State University. And on the way back, my former professor at Rutgers University grabbed me and said they were trying to start an international program in agriculture and offered me a job and kind of intrigued me to have a paying job that would allow me to go to school rather than go to New Mexico State where I was going to have to pay to go to school.
Right.
So I got stuck in stopped in New Jersey and did a master's program there. At the same time, I was an assistant instructor, and I developed an international agriculture program where we took students that had degrees in agriculture from U.S. institutions that had returned to their home countries, and we brought them back for a six-week intensive short course in vegetable production and marketing. I did that for 4 years, got my degree, and that led to a job with USAID under the actually CARE International, but a USAID project on the island of Jamaica.
Oh, okay.
Did that for 7 years. I started with six small farmers and built that into a 300-person strong vegetable growers cooperative. And we were shipping, after a few years, tens and hundreds of thousands of pounds of Jamaican specialty crops to the United States, to Canada, to Great Britain.
Hmm.
The original idea was to grow peppers and tomatoes and actually compete with Florida growers, but they were not able to compete at that level. But they were good farmers, and they grew Jamaican specialty products like Scotch bonnet peppers and yams and mangoes. And we knew that there were a lot of Jamaicans here in this country. As a matter of fact, there are more Jamaicans in New York City than there are in the capital, Kingston.
Right, right.
And so taking advantage of that, we were able to ship a lot of product up to the United States, get premium prices for it. You know, the Jamaicans that live here, they want a little taste of home. So they would pay, you know, good sums of money for specialty crops on their home island.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was quite a successful project. So that also being in Jamaica familiarized me with Florida because, you know, we were right offshore and come up here on vacation, and a lot of our produce was being shipped into Miami, and, you know, got to know the area. And what a lot of people don't realize, a lot of what I did early on in my career was predicated on Cold War politics.
Oh, really? How so?
We were trying to gain influence in other countries by helping them in different ways. Now, that wasn't my intent. My intent was to help people grow more food.
Right.
To be better farmers.
Right.
But oftentimes our government was putting money in those projects because we wanted to keep out communism on a global scale.
You were kind of a tool of theirs.
If you will, I was, yes.
Yeah.
Well, in 1989, when I was in Jamaica, the Soviet Union started to fall apart.
Right.
Which it did in 1990. The jobs dried up almost overnight.
Interesting. What an interesting connection that you would never think of.
You never think of that. So for almost 14 years, I never looked for a job. I was just asked, do you want to continue on here or go to this country or, you know, do this or that? And all of a sudden, there were no jobs. And my kids were getting to be middle school age.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of made a decision for us. You know, we needed to go back home because we didn't have work overseas anymore. Having lived in the tropics for 14 years, we didn't want to go anyplace cold anymore.
Right, yeah.
And the kids were getting to an age where, you know, it was probably time to bring them back to the United States and get a, you know, good education here in our country. As a matter of fact, when my kids moved to Florida, they only spoke Jamaican patois. They didn't even speak good English and had
wow.
to take a year of remedial English classes to go to school here.
Wow, that's fascinating. So you came here with what job? What was the job that landed you here?
Well, I didn't have a job.
Okay.
But I had made a little bit of money while I was overseas. And my wife and I, you know, having done the tropical vegetable, because my wife worked with me in Jamaica and we, you know, got familiar with these tropical Jamaican specialty vegetables and tropical fruits. We thought we wanted to start our own farm.
Okay.
And we went to Homestead looking at land. It was quite expensive even in those days. And somebody told us about Pine Island. So we came over to this side of the state, went out to Pine Island and found 40 acres of land in St. James City and purchased it with the intent of growing tropical fruits. Well, that wasn't to be, unfortunately.
I can see by the look on your face what happened.
Before we bought the land, you know, we had heard a lot about, you know, crazy land deals here in Florida.
Right.
And we went to the county and told them what we were intending to do. We went to the water management district and asked if we could get permits to, you know, put a well on this property. And everybody gave us the go-ahead. Unfortunately, there were some other things going on with the property, and the people that sold it to us were in violation of, they had subdivided it illegally and they put an access road in.
Okay.
And so when we bought the property, we thought everything was good. We were, you know, really excited. Our, you know, what our dream had come true of having our own little farm.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks later, we got a letter from Lee County saying we were in violation of the Road Building Act and the Tree Cutting Code.
And this was after you had signed the paperwork.
After we had signed the paperwork.
Oh, boy.
So went downtown, you know, and said, you know, we got this letter, but we just bought this property. Said, you know, why don't you go after the people that committed the violations?
Yeah.
And they said, well, you bought the violation.
Oh,
we're going after you. And that led to several years of wrangling in court with the original owners, with the realtor. We finally were able to get the realtor to buy us out, but it took almost 4 years. During that time, my wife took a job as a secretary. I took a job as a septic tank inspector and nearly went bankrupt because all our money was tied up, and in those days we weren't making that much money.
Sure.
Young family. So when we finally got out of it, I was offered a pretty good job to go back overseas to South Africa, to the country of Swaziland.
Mm-hmm.
So we went there for 2 years, packed up the kids, and were able to get ourselves back on our feet. Also knew a little more about Florida. And when we came back, we decided we really didn't want too much to do with Lee County anymore and found a place in Hendry County.
So you found the place before the job.
Before the job, yes, sir.
So how'd you get the job?
I applied to, when I was in South Africa, I had a volunteer who worked with me on a project there, and he was a former extension agent from Pennsylvania. And as my job was coming to an end, I was talking to him one night over a beer, and I said, I don't know what I'm really going to do. I'm going back. My contract's over. And he said, you don't know this, but you've been in extension work your entire life. Working with farmers and teaching them how to, you know, better ways of farming.
You were doing the job before you knew it was a job.
Exactly. So he said, wherever you go, just look up the extension service and you'll find the job.
Huh.
And so when I came back to Florida, I started applying to the University of Florida for a job in extension and took several tries, but I finally landed one and ended up in Hendry County.
What was your first job there?
I was the vegetable agent.
Okay. Explain what, real quick, like, and what's the 30-second definition of what an extension agent is and what are the different levels of it?
Okay. Basically, an extension agent is the link between the research that's done at the universities and the people that use that information.
Right.
And so, you know, the word itself, extension, we extend the information that's developed at the universities to the people that need it or use it. Again, things have changed. In the old days, we didn't have, you know, mass communications and cell phones and all of that. So you physically had to go from the university to the farm. Now we do it electronically. We do it digitally. One of the things I do in my job, for instance, is I help people diagnose disease and insect issues in vegetable crops here in South Florida. Well, it used to be they'd call me on the phone and I'd drive out to the farm. Now, oftentimes, I get a digital photo on my cell phone, and within a minute or two, I have an answer for them.
Hmm.
So it's things are changing.
If you're just joining the show today, I'm talking with Gene McAvoy. He is the Hendry County Extension Director and Regional Vegetable Agent 4 for the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences. That's UF-IFAS, a position he will soon be retiring from after 22 years. Our conversation is pre-taped, so we're not taking calls, but you can leave a comment via social media on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So what was big going on when you first got started as an agent there? Like, what was the landscape of the ag industry? What were the biggest challenges that they were looking at?
Things were a little different in those days. We had a lot more small farmers. When I first came here, we probably had 300 vegetable farmers across southwest Florida, five counties, on about 20,000 acres of land. In those days, I used to do more diagnostic work. More, you know, what is this insect? What is this disease? What kind of fertilizer do I need to use? Things have changed over the years. We've seen a lot of consolidation in the industry. The farmers themselves have gotten much more sophisticated. Now we have fewer than 100 farmers on about 70,000 acres of land. We grow a much wider diversity of vegetables. Back in the early days, you know, tomatoes, peppers, watermelons, cucumbers, squash, and it kind of went downhill from there. Now, because of competition from other countries, our farmers have diversified. We now in southwest Florida grow over 60 different vegetables, everything from arugula through zucchini. We have the largest producer of aromatic herbs in the United States in Hendry County right now. Organics have taken off. We have some really big organic farms, some, you know, about 5,000 acres total.
What about hemp? What do you think about hemp coming into this world?
Hemp is going to be something that, you know, farmers are going to look at. A lot of people are excited about it. I don't know if I'm as excited about it. I think it will expand the pie for some growers. But like any other commodity, it does have some problems. It will be subject to the laws of supply and demand. And right now you have 35 states have recently approved hemp for production.
Right. There's going to be a bumper crop at first.
We're going to be competing with other states. And like other crops, it's going to end up being produced where it is best suited to be produced.
Right.
Climactically, in terms of soils, in terms of, you know, proximity to processing and things like that.
You've seen a lot of change in citrus, I'm sure, over your time. You know, it's been degraded quite a bit because of greening and the canker before it. Are farmers looking at things like hemp as a possible
farmers
what's next?
Yes, sir. They're looking at all kinds of alternatives, anywhere from hemp to artichokes to lychees. I have people now growing lychees, sugar apples. People are really looking. Unfortunately, there's no drop-in for a big crop like citrus, nothing that's going to take over the couple hundred thousand acres that have gone out of production.
Do they see any kind of hope on the horizon as far as solving this problem, or is this seems like it's we're in a holding pattern of slowly downward trend?
Well, I think there is hope. Have some newer plantings going in, and we know a lot more about the disease in those young groves where we know exactly what to do. They're looking very good. What's happening, though, to smaller producers that don't have the wherewithal to reinvest or, you know, are along in years and may not feel that they have the time to reinvest, some of those are going out. But the larger producers are in the citrus business to stay, and I believe they will stay, and a lot of money is being devoted to the disease, and I'm sure we will come up with a cure sooner or later.
How about the end of NAFTA, the beginnings of the USMCA? How is that being perceived by the ag industry here in southwest Florida?
NAFTA was not good for southwest or for Florida, for southeast, even Georgia and some of the other states in the southeast. It's opened up our borders to competition. We do not compete on a level playing field. In Florida, we pay $12 an hour on average for agricultural labor. Mexico just gave a raise to their agricultural workers. They now pay $9 a day. It's hard to compete with that.
Yeah. You're the president-elect, or maybe president now, of the National Association of County Agricultural Agents. What is that role all about, and how much time will that be taking up for you in quote-unquote retirement?
Yeah, I'm president-elect. I will become president in September. The National Association of Agricultural Agents is basically a self-improvement organization. We offer our members opportunities for in-service training so they can become better extension agents. We also lobby on behalf of extension professionals at the state, local, and public level. And we also have opportunities where our agents can compete for awards in categories like communication, publications, and different areas. So it's a professional association. We've got a very good board. We've got a very good committee structure. So actually the organization runs itself in many ways. So while it will take time, it won't take an excessive amount of time.
Right, yeah. Well, you won't be full-time in it.
That's right.
You put out a newsletter, right, called the Southwest Florida Vegetable Pest and Disease Hotline?
Yes, sir.
Is that going to continue?
I'm hoping to.
Okay.
I've had a number of industry partners offer to subsidize the production of that newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
So right now things are up in the air. I'm in discussions with several different groups, but I hope to continue that. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's something that I've gotten down to a science now.
And, right.
You know, it's something that, you know, a few hours over breakfast or a few minutes over breakfast, you know, odd minute here and there throughout the day, I can get a lot of stuff out to growers.
And I also saw that you regularly write for the website growingproduce.com. Is that stuff you do on your own time, or is that all happening because of your role as the extension agent?
It happens as my role because of extension agent, but it's something that they've asked if I would be interested in continuing as well.
In your letter announcing your retirement, you say, I'm going to quote this, "I would be remiss to not acknowledge the loving support of my wife, Donna, and my three sons, Chris, Teddy, and Andy, in supporting me on this journey and embracing the extension lifestyle." So my question is what are you going to miss the most about the extension lifestyle, and what are you going to miss the least?
Well, when I say extension lifestyle, we've basically made ourselves, or we've become part of the agricultural community of Southwest Florida. And to be an effective extension agent is more than just an 8-to-5 job. It means, you know, going out and supporting your growers. You know, I worked very closely with you guys, you know, after Hurricane Irma, and mm-hmm. I was out there, you know, 14 hours a day for days on end after the storm, documenting what happened. It means going to weddings and funerals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to miss it because we're going to continue to do that.
Right. Meaning you're going to stick around the bell and
we're
still be
stick
right
around
there in the middle
bell
of the community.
And yeah, as I say, we love agriculture. We have our own small ranch. I'm also secretary of the Hendry County Cattlemen. I'm active with the Hendry Glades Farm Bureau. So we're going to remain in agriculture and be proponents and advocates for agriculture.
What do you – you say you have a small ranch. What do you grow on it?
I have beef cattle and dairy goats.
What about a garden? You guys got a garden?
I don't have a garden. I'm so busy I don't have time.
Perhaps in retirement?
Perhaps, yes, sir.
What would you grow if you put a garden in?
Vegetables. I've had big vegetable gardens in the past.
Any plans on maybe doing some traveling, like a return to Jamaica or a return to West Africa?
Actually, yes. My job right now with the National Association affords me a good bit of travel. So we travel quite a bit every couple of weeks around the United States, different places. That's another possibility. I've had inquiries about doing international consulting. My wife would be very interested in that as well. So,
Well, that is all the time we have. Gene, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Just that, you know, I wish that people would have a greater appreciation for agriculture. It's our second largest industry here in the state, and without it, we would be hungry, naked, and sober.
That is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my guest, Gene McAvoy, is the Hendry County Extension Director and Regional Vegetable Agent for the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, at least until the end of this month. He's also President-elect of the National Association of County Agricultural Agents. Gene, thanks for coming in and sharing your time and your stories with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is all the time we have for today's show. If you missed any of it, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Tomorrow's show is going to be preempted by the Mueller testimony, but join us on Thursday when John Davis welcomes the Southwest Florida-based indie rock band Broken Waves into the studio to perform live. Our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thank you for listening. I'm Mike Kinnairy. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.